the outside linebackers, but all the rushmen are a significant component when you face quarterback mobility, and particularly Lamar Jackson. You know, the addition of Preston has been significant for us. He's a veteran. He knows what to do. He's highly skilled, done a nice job of fitting in. We've gotten quality production from my edge people, regardless of who's in the game, and I expect that to continue. But I'm also optimistic about the availability of TJ based on what I've seen.
All right, so that was the big buzzword from the press conference, was optimistic on TJ Watt from Mike Tomlin at the 50-minute mark, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Today, the Steelers staged a walkthrough. Typically, this is a day off for the guys, but the game's on Saturday, not Sunday, so they had to work, but they decided to just do a very easy day of practice. So the participation of players in practice is an estimation. The NFL asks them, because of the betting surge, because there's so much action on pro football, so much money and tied up into it, to guesstimate what would have happened if they staged an actual practice today. And so that's what the practice report reflects. And Tomlin wrote down that if they did have a regular practice, TJ Watt wouldn't have been available. George Pickens wouldn't have been available. Deshaun Elliott wouldn't have been available. Dante Jackson wouldn't have been available. Justin Fields wouldn't have been available. And Larry Ogunjobi would have been a little bit available. Now, the Ogunjobi thing, just for a second, might not seem like a big deal, but he's a pretty good run defender based on all the stats. And they played Dean Lowry, who most Steelers fans have no clue who that guy is, almost 50% of the snaps against the Eagles. Tomlin talks about nameless gray face opponents. That's a nameless gray face Steeler who's barely played this year, and he played a ton in Ogunjobi's absence. So I don't think Ogunjobi's had a great year by any means. He's a huge upgrade over the guy that is, quote, next man up at that position. My thoughts as we get closer to the game and start to get into the game prep, Chris, is if what we see is what we get, if these guys are actually out for this game, then it's kind of a David versus Goliath game. I mean, I go into Steelers-Ravens games always feeling great about them because of the way that they bottle up Lamar Jackson. But this almost takes the fun out of it for me. Because instead of it feeling like this high stakes, not winner takes all, because the Ravens can't clinch a division, but the Steelers can capture the division, guarantee themselves a home playoff game, set themselves up for, you know, the playoffs and managing the last two games and not having to really win those games to get what they want, which is the easier path to the Super Bowl. I go into this game with almost no expectations. It's basically like the Eagles game. Exactly.
Yeah. So you're basically just looking at it as a repeat of last week if it's the same injury situation.
Right, and it's like, yeah, I mean, I said
this. Wait, you don't even give them a little bit of a chance because.
No, I do, but, you know, you want games like this to mean so much or matter so much that if they lose it, you're like pissed off and you're aggravated and you're annoyed by it. And if they do, I'll be more mad at like the football gods for having the Steelers go into this game at, you know, 60%.
Wounded.
Yes. Like any Mike Tomlin in-game decision or fumble by a Steelers running back or something like that.
I mean, I guess what I would choose to look at, not so much that I'd be mad at Tomlin or mad at them if they go in this injured and they lose. Like, I wouldn't necessarily look at them. I would have kind of the Eagles outlook here. You expect them to not be able to win this game. But, man, go back to that game last year to end the season. Granted, it's in a monsoon. The Ravens have played them remarkably tough at times when they've had no reason to be able to.
And they still lose, though.
I understand that. But, like, some of those games where it looked like, all right, they're getting no Lamar Jackson here for one reason or another. Like, this should be a walkover.
I agree with you in that.
They don't turn into that. So, like,
the COVID game here when they played it on a Wednesday
on
was one of those games. The Steelers barely
won.
And Tomlin was pissed at Trace McSorley.
Didn't they have a third guy have to come in and play quarterback?
I think it was just those two guys that day. You'd have to go double check that.
There were some random dudes playing quarterback. My point is, I don't completely like throw this game out and say, not so much no expectations. I don't just take like a bummed out viewpoint on it like you just did there. because I've just seen so many times the shoe be on the other foot, or even when the Steelers had Charlie Batch pull a rabbit out of a hat. The game itself should be a lot closer because, for one reason or another, I know people don't like to do this, but I think it's more valid than saying, well, they never win in Philly. With some of the same particulars year after year, in recent years, some of these guys will be on the field for this game. They're almost always close. Like, I will at least allow for the possibility that this game, even if the Steelers are beat to hell,
I agree.
Is close.
I agree with that. I don't think that the game is going to be as one-sided as the game against the Eagles, so I don't think that I'm walking into... I said David versus Goliath. I don't feel like it's a lambs being led to slaughter kind of situation. I don't think I'm sitting down to watch the Ravens spike the football on the Steelers.
Lamar
and laugh
finally
at them the
has
entire
his
game.
Big game. Like, I'm not guaranteeing.
Yeah, I don't think Ravens players are winning
happen.
Big and, like, you know, rubbing a terrible towel on their ass afterwards and, like, laughing and pointing at the Steelers. I don't think it's going to be that type of game.
You think Deontay might take a video from his house wearing a Steelers jersey?
I just don't think it's a fair fight.
Well, it isn't on paper, but that doesn't mean that they can't win it. Like, they still have, if you believe the head coach has a significant role in what they're able to do against Jackson, and I do, I really don't think it's just TJ Watt is awesome. I think he has tactics and strategies. And I think part of it is talking about Jackson like he is the greatest quarterback to ever play. I think that all plays into
it. And that's part of the appeal or the allure of Steelers Ravens is that there have been these, you know, gargantuan upsets, Ryan Mallett with the Ravens, Charlie Batch with the Steelers. So those types of crazy things, the rivalry has
brought out
some of those moments.
You're going to get mad at me. Hold on. I got to say this right now before it like slips my mind. We've had a big debate all show about whether or not like it matters in a vacuum that you win the division or, like I said, I just want to win a playoff game. I will allow for this exception. If they win the division with all of these guys not playing, that will stick in my brain as a pretty memorable individual win in a regular season for Mike Tomlin. You go no Watt, no Pickens, no Elliott, no Fields. Like, you've got the kind of skeleton crew here a little bit, and you sneak into their building and walk out with a win. That game in and of itself will stick out to me as a memorable one, like a memorable Mike Tomlin win.
Yeah, but he's got memorable Mike Tomlin wins from dead end seasons. That 2012 season.
I'm not trying to connect it to that topic. I'm just pointing out, like, in a very much a vacuum,
yes,
I will be very amused by that.
Yeah, we'll all be amused, but you're saying all that, but you're not actually saying it in a way that changes your mind. It doesn't sound like.
No, I'm just allowing for like one little sliver of I would have a you know what eating grin on my face if they pulled this off.
So would I. I mean, it would be a great
like a smirking.
But
sense
that
of
that's why I said winning the division, getting the bragging rights over the Ravens and sweeping them and getting to 11 wins with the prospect of winning 12 or 13 this year would make it a good year. And this would be the cherry on top of that. It would be the apex moment, the pinnacle of, I think, a good Steelers season. And then we'll see what happens in the playoffs. What I was getting to was I hate when these games get diluted. I hate when they get watered down. And the Steelers going into this game with so many injuries waters down this game. It helped the Steelers when they were bad, when they were a mediocre team or an average team, that Lamar Jackson would miss the game or they would have the playoff spot sewed up and they'd play scrubs. Like, that was beneficial for them, but it made the games way less interesting. I don't like less interesting, less entertaining. I don't like the stars and the big names to not be involved in these games. I want Lamar Jackson to have to beat the Steelers with TJ Watt. You know, I'll feel like if Lamar Jackson does have a good game and they win, if Watt doesn't play, if Elliott's out in the corner with five interceptions is out, I'll feel like, all right, he won this round, but feel like it's a legit win for him because we weren't anywhere close to full strength.
That's a built-in thing that I would think you would kind of take as a silver lining. The minute like Ravens fans said, ha ha ha, he finally got you, you could instantly and rightfully undercut that.
I would.
Okay, like I don't, yes, it would suck because it would be in the aftermath of a loss, but I would think that would be something that you'd put it as another little feather in your cap that you'd enjoy. Oh yeah, that's nice that he beat them.
I know, but what I'm getting at though is there's that, but also like the continued angst and anxiety if they were to lose this game and be injured of what's going to happen on Christmas Day against the Chiefs. Are guys going to get healthy? Are they ever going to get back to full strength? When are they clinched a playoff spot, but when are they going to like finally put the exclamation point on their season. I mean, they're getting just into a
yeah. They're in a tough spot, though, man. They might not put an exclamation point on it. The schedule's brutal, and the injury situation's brutal right now for them. There is, if for people that want like a closure or a bam, we put our foot down, you might not get it.
Here is Patrick on the fan. Hello, Pat.
Hey, gentlemen. Good afternoon. Love the show. I appreciate you taking the call.
Yes. What do you got for us?
Here's a personal feel for my point. This game is all about one person, no coach, no MVP candidate. It's Russell Wilson. In the event that he is handicapped, which he will be, either defensively or offensively, and he is looking for a future, whether it be with the Steelers or someone else, he needs to step up and say, you know what, when the chips are down and the odds are against us, I am the guy that can lead us to somewhere where nobody expects us to go. And as far as Tomlin goes,
well, wait a minute. I don't want to gloss over that. You're saying saying you hope that he does it or want him to do it is different from saying he needs to do it. It sounds like you think he needs to do that in order for you to want to give him an extension and feel like he's the Steelers quarterback of the future, that he needs to like be the force multiplier that wins them this game. Is that right?
Unequivocally, there is one person in this game that needs to step up and be accounted for, and it's him. It's not a coach.
Okay, but what are the consequences if he doesn't?
Yeah, what if he doesn't?
What if he just what if he plays like he did against the Eagles? Then what?
Well, that he has no future with us
completely,
or anyone else.
Completely disagree with that.
Gentlemen, wait a second. You can disagree, but here's what. When the chips are down, if you put it in Josh's hands or you put it in Mahomes' hands, are they going to come through even without a cast of characters?
He's not those guys. He's 36 years old, and both of those guys are in the prime of their career. And oh, by the way, if he doesn't against Baltimore, but he does it Christmas Day against the Chiefs, then he hasn't redeemed himself? I mean, come on now. You're boiling his whole Steelers season down to one game.
No, absolutely not. Christmas Day means nothing. It's this Saturday.
What do you mean it means nothing? It's the team that's won the last two Super Bowls coming here.
Yeah, but that's not the game that counts. The game that counts is this weekend because it tees up the Steelers.
If they lose this game, then next week is the week that counts. And if you beat... Okay, if you have a season where you go 2-0 against the Ravens but lose to the Chiefs versus 1-1 against the Ravens but you beat Kansas City, overall, what would make you feel better about their chances of winning games in the playoffs, Chris?
The Kansas City win.
Me too.
I'm just... Look, I am kind of flabbergasted by the general vibe
that it's,
of that,
that
call.
It's make or break for Russell Wilson on Saturday. The referendum on him is this game without potentially George Pickens and without a defense that usually can hold Lamar Jackson in check because they're down three or four starters, including the guy that's the favorite to win the defensive player of the year, if it goes that way.
I'm all for the idea that it would be very reassuring to see a former Super Bowl winning quarterback who did look very bad like the rest of them against Philly play really well against a team he played poorly against earlier this year. But that is not for me like the be-all, end-all.
Yeah, it's not a game where it's like, oh man, he didn't come through in this game. That's it.
Might as well go back to Fields for the Kansas City game if he's healthy.
Yep, back to the drawing board at quarterback.
That's dealing in massive extremes.
Text us on the Edgar Snyder Associates fan text line. Brian Batko was at Steelers practice. He'll tell us how close these guys are returning next, but first a headline. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Going to play a game with Brian Batko. Will or won't? Will this guy play? Will he not play? Saturday in Baltimore. Ravens injury report looks clean. Tomlin takes in 30 minutes, 6 o'clock, the Landon Roberts Show with Donnie Football. Tomorrow is our big karaoke night over at Mike's Beer Bar. Pat Freiermuth scheduled to sing with Adam Crowley. Mike DeFabo and Jenna Harner, who are married to each other. I don't know if everybody knows that. Do they mention that when they do the TV show together at night?
I don't know. If it was like a...
I'd love for some of the stuff that happens like in their home life for that to bleed into a debate about whatever they're talking about.
I don't know why Mike Tomlin made that decision, Mike. It was as inexplicable as telling somebody you're going to unload the dishwasher and then leaving it for the next day.
That would be tremendous. That would be great.
Gee, Jenna, it seems like you're favoring Rob Rossi's answer there.
Huh.
I don't know why I'm imagining that whole exchange in my head as being like Margo and Todd from Christmas Vacation, but here we are.
Brian Batko joins us right now. Hello, Brian.
Hello, guys.
Brian, do they play it straight on that show, or do they actually do get into the lover quarrel stuff?
I don't think. I think being married to someone in the same field as you, especially with what we do, would get old pretty quickly if you were constantly referencing it and bringing it up in those
settings. Can you imagine Pony being married to somebody who worked in our field and he is just giving his wife the business about her being wrong on a topic?
I mean, that couple on MSNBC does a morning show together and they're married, right, Chris?
Scarborough.
And whatever the hell Mrs. Scarborough's name is.
Mika Brzezinski.
That's wild.
Exactly.
That's wild. I think it keeps me sane that my wife doesn't really follow sports. But yeah, I mean, a couple weeks ago, I think she asked me, I think I made a reference about Justin Fields and she was like, oh, who is that? So that's
got to be bliss for you. That has to be blissful.
Work home.
Are you going to come to our karaoke event tomorrow?
I don't think I got the invite.
Well, you got it now.
Okay. Then maybe I will. What time is it?
7 o'clock. Mike's Beer Bar. Apparently Freiermuth is supposed to sing with Crowley. I don't know.
That right there might be enough to bring me out.
Joe has made a song about Malzy the Snowman. Have you heard that yet?
I haven't, but between that and Pat being one of the more friendly guys that I interact with on the team in the locker room on a daily basis, I'm starting to get won over by this idea.
Here is a sample of Malzy the Snowman, and you let us know what you think of it.
A jolly, happy soul with a giant bald head and a button nose. His favorite pitcher was Garrett Cole.
Well?
I like it. I give it a solid 8.5 out of 10, and I think it could go even higher with the live version.
8.5 out of 10? Holy crap. If you were a record executive, you'd be greenlighting everything.
Brian, let's play Will He or Will He Not Play on Saturday with the Steelers, starting with T.J. Watt.
Well, I'm going to preface this all by saying, who knows? These guys themselves might not even know at this point, but I'll give him a yes.
Deshaun Elliott.
I'm going to give him a no. I feel like the hamstrings have been kind of a 2-week at minimum thing.
George Pickens.
I'm going to give him a yes.
Oh, going against Dulac. That's interesting. A little PG on PG crime.
That would have been 2 weeks. Okay, you were staying consistent.
Why the optimism on George?
Well, I certainly don't doubt that he could miss it, but I'm a little bit more optimistic on him for a couple reasons, guys. Number one, just watching some of the catches he makes and some of the things he does physically, athletically, his body seems to be made out of one of those like little squishy toys that my kids play with. It doesn't even seem capable of bending and breaking or tearing. I know he had the torn ACL in college, but he kind of seems like a physical freak that way. And he was bouncing around on the field a little pregame. I had my binoculars trained on him in Philly, and then some of the clips of him today pre-practice. I'm feeling optimistic, even if the conservative move would be to rest him another week.
Justin Fields going to be their backup quarterback, or will he be inactive?
I'm going to say they keep him as the backup in this one, but I don't feel great about the abdominal thing either.
How about Dante Jackson?
Oh, man, he seems like he gets hurt every single week. But then he always plays the next week.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sometimes he even comes back in the game. I'll give him a yes, too.
Well, the way that you just described it makes it sound like the Steelers are going to be in very good shape for this game on Saturday. Brian, and if they're this healthy, do you think they will win the game in Baltimore?
I don't think I'm going to pick them to go down there and win, what, it'd be 9 out of 10 at that point? That just seems like too many coin flips are going your way than are even mathematically possible.
But isn't the fallacy that even if a coin flips the same way
10
times in a row,
fallacy.
The gambler's fallacy is that you think it has to flip tails, but the chances are exactly the same that it'll flip heads?
Yeah, I love that. I love those kind of thought exercises, but I'm injecting into it this just, I think the Ravens are a very good team, and there have been some sort of fluky randomness things that have gone against them in these matchups when the Steelers have won, especially when Lamar plays. So
I would not include the most recent game, though. I would
be stunned by that.
I would be with you,
Brian.
Fluky
randomness.
Yeah, like 9 drops is one of those things, but I would not agree about the last one. I thought that was one of the more emphatic examples of they just get Lamar to play a very bad game, Brian.
Yeah, he didn't play well, don't get me wrong, but Justin Tucker's inaccuracy, which might not be a fluke at this stage of his career. He
yes,
might
now you're undermining your own argument. What are you doing here?
We call that a Mulsey on this show.
But right. They were still 2 missed field goals that they either might not settle for in this one, or he might make them at his home stadium. The 2-point conversion, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago? I mean, if they catch that, we're singing a different tune. So, yeah, I think that these games have been won on the razor's edge more often than not.
Is that a reference to the fact that it's WWE night at the Penguins Kings game? Is that what you just did there?
Oh man, Edge was a guy for sure.
No, how about Razor's Edge,
Razor Ramon. You know, no one ever kicked out of it because he refused to allow it to be booked that way.
Scott Hall, yeah, he was he kind of a jerk? He really came across as a jerk.
He was. He had a lot of problems off the off camera with the booze, and then once he got clean, apparently he was a pretty good guy.
Booze
with a Z.
Gotcha.
Man, he's not around
both.
Either.
We don't know.
Brian,
oh, really?
Any update on what you've heard regarding the Steelers' complaints with the way that the game was officiated on Sunday?
No. Just going off what Tomlin said yesterday that he really didn't have time, but I have to imagine that somebody in the league office saw the fan angle eventually and said, well, they did screw that one up, and they talked through it on the pool report about as bland as they could, and now we're just going to have to wear that one.
Do you expect that Najee Harris's fourth quarter benching carries into this game and we see more Jaylen Warren / Cordarrelle Patterson?
Not necessarily. Najee usually runs really well at M&T Bank Field. I don't know if it's something about seeing the purple in the stand that gets him going or if he just rises up for this rivalry on the road, but back-to-back 100-yard games at that stadium.
How troubled should we be by the general way that the Eagles manhandled them in that game on both sides of the ball? Do you subscribe to the Mike Tomlin, let's not overreact, it's one game, or do you think they got exposed?
More on the former, honestly. I mean, the fact that they were missing 2 of their key guys, one on each side of the ball, and it was on the road for a team that I mistook them because I picked the Steelers to win. I just kind of had a feeling in my gut that the Eagles were running into some dysfunction and they were going to need a soft spot type of loss to get their minds right. Instead, they weren't really a mess. They were a buzzsaw going into that game with all the AJ Brown and Jalen Hurts drama percolating. So, I mean, it wasn't great, don't get me wrong, but I still think the Steelers have all their goals ahead of them. That's an NFC team. If they were to see them in the Super Bowl, you'd cross that bridge when you get to it, but they still got some matchup advantages that I think can go their way against some of the other teams in their conference. Not saying I'd pick them to win, but at least a little more familiarity.
Tomlin talked about what a big deal this game was winning a division. Interesting hypothetical. If the Steelers win against Baltimore on Saturday, are you convinced that they would not start to rest guys against the Chiefs on Wednesday?
I don't think they would. I don't think that's really in their DNA. I think Mike Tomlin he might do some subtle things in terms of limiting the snap counts and load management and whatnot, but I don't think they would quite go that route, although it is going to be a lot of interesting moving parts for all these teams at the top of the AFC standings. The Chiefs, too, are in much the same boat. I'm seeing national writers and KC writers saying, just don't chance it with Patrick Mahomes. Keep him on ice for a couple weeks and let him flip that switch when you get to the winner-go-home games.
Brian Batko, PostGazette.com, guessing that George Pickens and T.J. Watt will play on Saturday. Thank you, BB.
You're welcome, guys. We'll see you. Maybe I'll see you tomorrow night.
See ya.
BB?
I don't know.
What the hell happened to you there?
You know what happened? I'll tell you exactly.
Brian
you,
knows,
Brian.
Too. He was laughing at it. I could tell he didn't know what to make of it.
That's. Do you get the initials on guys in your phone at the top in the circle?
Yeah.
I think for whatever reason, whenever I text Brian,
I'm shocked
I just see
you even have him in there as like a name. You have mostly numbers.
He was a recent addition where I saved his name and number in the last like month.
That's like the one weird crossover with you and Starkey. You both just don't save number or save names.
Follow us on Twitter. Brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Coming up next, Tomlin takes some of the highlights from his press conference, including his explanation for why the Steelers.
You got to compliment those that we compete against and their schematics and their players, environment, but also we absorb a lot of the responsibility of the quality of our play or the lack thereof. When you're not getting possession downs, particularly early in the game, that has a component of it. There have been several games that we've been three and outing to start games, and you never get an opportunity to gain run game traction or accumulate the total number of snaps to play that component of the game when you're three and out and you're slow to winning possession downs, and that's been a component of the issue as well.
Tomlin takes. We take two or three big news items from Tomlin's press conference so you don't have to listen back to all 30 minutes of the gobbledygook that we get from Mike some days.
That was another wrestler gimmick, the gobbledygooker. Wasn't it like a turkey or
something?
Hold
on, I like this part of the song.
Nothing? You no-selling me like the Undertaker on that one?
It was Hector Guerrero.
But that was the gimmick, was
yep.
it not?
That guy hatched out of an egg.
Yeah, turkey came out
he
of an egg.
Hatched started, out of an egg.
Yeah, started dancing with Mean Gene Okerlund.
What an intro. The only intro that's greater, the Shockmaster.
Why the run game stinks, Mike Tomlin. It's not good. I don't think it's hideous.
They're very inefficient. The numbers are not
exactly
good.
For as much as they do it, this is not a practice makes perfect situation. They do it a ton. Usually teams that run a ton run a lot because they're good at it. They're proficient at it. This team is not. Batko just said he doesn't think we're going to see a changing of the guard. It's more Najee. They'll move on, water under the bridge with the fumble, and they'll continue to try to ride him and then work in the other two guys. I'm ready for something different, especially if Pickens doesn't play, although Batko said he thinks Pickens and Watt will play. Which it was a stunner.
That puts him on a bit of an island.
Especially because Dulac, you want to talk about when one ear and out the other when I brought up, hey, Dulac said he's not going to play.
He just kept rolling.
So now we need Fittipaldo to break the PG tie.
Does Fittipaldo plus Batko outstrip in just, yes. In simple votes it does. But Jerry, I mean, has the ear of the owner.
Yeah, I think it'd be 2-1, but I think Fittipaldo would be inclined to agree with Dulac because the reverence he has for Jerry, the veteran.
What if he chats more and generally interacts more with Batko, though?
I don't think he does.
Why not?
Because I know he doesn't, actually. There's clicks on the road with the Steelers media. I don't think fans know that.
Batko is in the DeFabo click?
Yes. The old heads seem to congregate.
Is like, Ray even that old?
Well, compared to some of the other people, he is.
So who's the? So what is the?
So Fittipaldo,
then?
Fittipaldo, Dulac. Joe Rutter, Chris Adamski, Kabali, those guys get like a early bird special dinner and are back in the room and in bed by 10.
Okay,
and then you've got your Brooke Pryors and your DeFabos and your Batkos and maybe Richie Walsh gets sprinkled in, and they.
Richie just out of nowhere invading that group?
I don't know if he's in with that group, but I think Richie is still a guy that'll go out. Maybe not paint a town red, maybe paint it pink.
Is there a man apart there? Is there somebody who does who marches to the beat of their own drum?
I think Mackey's kind of an X factor who could go either way. Either go with the old dudes or
He's at a Grateful Dead cover band show. They just play two songs, but each one of them's 42 minutes long.
See, I could see him just listening to Grateful Dead while he, like, runs a treadmill and reads his old columns.
Reads his old columns?
Yeah. Critiques himself. Self-study. That kind of thing.
I do none of that.
Anywho. Mike Tomlin on the run game struggles.
Man, I don't like as a
Do you think
practical
he gets on
matter,
track this week?
Not really, no. Because Baltimore's always been good at stopping that. I don't like as a practical matter that they try to run the ball more than virtually every team in football. In fact, rushing attempts this year,
Ravens
the Steelers,
more, Lions more?
The Steelers
Eagles
are second
more.
Now.
Oh,
they're
wow.
second in the league in rushing attempts.
More than the Eagles?
Yes, some of those
Jeez.
Are, well, here, I didn't even look at Philly, but like some of those are quarterback runs, I get it. Eagles are number one. So now they've run the ball more than the Baltimore Ravens have this year, at least in attempts. I just really dislike the fact that they are doing something a lot, but that they are not good at it. Like, that is, tell me where that makes sense. Seriously, I hate to be, like, sticking on this
for a
second. They
want to just take their 2 or 3 yard gains on first and second down and set up 3rd and 5 is what they want.
Okay, are you good enough to be constantly winning 3rd and 5s?
I think for a while they were. Their time of possession was one of the best in the
Mike's
league, but it was good until it wasn't.
Okay,
it's
I hope Mike looks
anymore.
At this and realizes, like, yeah, we're not a very efficient team. Maybe we should run it less. Maybe we should have some tendency breakers in there.
Batco seemed to think Dante Jackson would play because he's always dinged up and manages to play. Here is Mike Tomlin on what life would be like without him against Baltimore.
We got a lot of capable players in that space. We've been really comfortable with it. We've been blessed with some depth there. If people are unavailable, I am completely comfortable with those that get an opportunity to play, whether it's James Pierre, whether it's Corey Trice. And when called upon, both guys have delivered and delivered to a satisfactory level, and I'm confident in terms of how they practice and approach their business. And so I don't know that that's a big issue for us.
Ever get a feeling that you really can't back up with anything and you just say, yeah, I feel good about this, or I'm okay with it, and you really have nothing to go by?
Often.
That's how I feel about this. Like, I've not seen a ton from James Pierre this year. We saw Corey Trice very early in the year have an interception against Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson has 5 interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I'll hold up fine with those guys in. And yeah, they didn't against A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, but that is an elite receiver and a former Heisman Trophy winner. The Slim Reaper. So I get it. Like, those guys are studs, and Hurts, I think, is criminally underrated.
I don't feel great about it. Pierre specifically.
I think Pierre's actually.
I just randomly watched Brady called him out and said, "Look, career game."
Well, yeah, he did against. Well, it's the Giants, Chris. True. But Brady said, "As soon like I go right after James Pierre," and that's what the Eagles did on a touchdown.
Why doesn't Brady do more of that? Like, just very plain spoken, just say, "Yeah, I'd go immediately go after."
I want
this
more
guy.
Bleep talking from Brady.
He's just...
And I'm bummed
he's
out.
He's just laughing all the way to the bank. He's making $37 million to be like a fourth-tier parent.
I know that people don't like Collinsworth. I think you see how good Collinsworth is when you're subjected to Brady for 3 hours.
See how good Greg Olsen is when you're subjected to Brady.
I think Romo's had a renaissance season.
He's been more engaged, too.
We've already had Nance and Romo this year.
Tony has been more engaged in what he's doing.
It stinks that we have to get Brady and Burkhardt again this week because the game's on Fox for the first time ever, Steelers-Ravens. And we don't get a Collinsworth, Tirico, NBC crew, Steelers-Ravens game. That's my nerdy take on play-by-play, folks.
I like the Iron Eagle Charles Davis.
So do I.
A lot. Just rock solid.
Oh, wait. Was it... Because I was at the game, so I don't remember. Who did Steelers-Ravens? It actually was... No, it was Iron Eagle.
It was Iron Eagle.
It was not Nance
and
Romo
this
year.
We had that Iron Eagle run. No, they did... Nance and Romo did Steelers-Browns, didn't they?
Yeah, I saw Iron Eagle eat a sandwich with a fork and knife in the press box dining area for that game.
You ever seen somebody eat a Snickers bar with a fork and a knife?
Isn't that from Seinfeld?
I think somebody's done it in real life, though, too. I think I've seen somebody actually do it.